Let's stand if you are able to, and we'll read from Romans chapter number 10, Romans the 10th chapter, beginning in verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So the gospel is something to be obeyed. There's something in the gospel that is to be obeyed. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? It's something to be obeyed. It's something to be believed. Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? So there are those who hear, but they don't obey. There are those who hear, but they don't believe. We're still saying the same thing that we're beginning with there in the 16th verse. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? So it wasn't just the Jew, it was the Gentile too, we know. But here the Jew, did not Israel know? Yes, Israel knew. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let's pray. Father, we once again come before you. We ask that you would speak unto each and every one of us here, that you would indeed make manifest, even as we have been looking at that just in the words we're reading, that you would make these things more than manifest, more than just on a printed page, but that they might be, Father, in our hearts, in our thoughts, that they might be hearts that have been opened and these things have been made manifest, eyes that have been opened and these things have been made manifest, more than just humanly speaking have been made manifest, but spiritually speaking, that they've been made manifest by your Holy Spirit, by the power that the gospel has unto salvation, the power of God. We pray, Father, that you would speak unto each of us here. We pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So, the way of salvation, our hope of heaven, being reconciled to God, made holy and blameless in His sight, through the blood of Christ, comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, we looked at that last week, comes by grace through faith. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified, we proclaim that men would do what? Repent. That men would repent and believe upon Him is the message that we carry to the nations. Went to the ends of the world, we read there. We carry this message that the wages of sin is death. We warn men to flee from the wrath to come. We tell them that except you repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. There's only one way that a man can be saved. There's not many ways. Except you repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. So how do we know that we have true saving faith? Well, we see it here in our text. We see it here in that if we've obeyed the gospel, we have saving faith. If we repented of our sins and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we understand this is true saving faith. There, in other words, there are plenty of people who claim to believe. I mean, how many people claim to believe that there's a God? There was a thing that I read in a book this week where a young man from seminary comes up to a man on the street and says, you know, here's this verse of Scripture in the Word of God. Do you believe that's true? And the man says, well, yes, it's in the Word of God. I believe it to be true. Then you're saved. And he takes out a little piece of paper and he writes his name on this card. He said, your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, the man thought it was some sort of maybe a scam, you know, and so he didn't give his real name. And so he came to the person who was part, I guess, over the seminary and said, are these young men preachers that you're sending out? And this is what happened. But I gave him a fictitious name. Does that mean my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life wrongly? You know, there's all sorts of things that go, you know, for believing, in other words. But we're talking about true saving faith here. The hearing of true faith is what we're talking about here, because there are plenty of people that claim to believe who've never repented of their sins. You understand that? There are people who say they believe, they've never repented of their sins. There's really been no change in their life. It's just something that they said. It's a statement that they made. It was just something that was in their minds mentally and upon, you know, their tongues, but it wasn't in, you know, their hearts. That's all human faith really can do. Saving faith is something that God does. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the preaching of the gospel is a message of repentance. Repentance. Have you repented of your sins? The gospel is a message of repentance. When the Spirit of God comes and convicts a person and convinces them of their sin, they repent, you know, of their sin. Even as Christians, if we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we have forgiveness. We repent. The salvation is a gospel of repentance. We repent of sin. We turn from sin and we turn to God, in other words. This message of repentance is necessary. We have need to repent because of our sin and to believe upon Christ as the only sufficient sacrifice and atonement for that sin. So our gospel message is a message of repent. You know, you think about some of those old sandwich boards that you'd see in movies and people, you know, would have on, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that's the kingdom of God, you know, is at hand. Repent. That's from Scripture. You know, repent. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is a message of turning from sin and turning to God. You cannot believe unto salvation apart from repentance. So when we say that there is something here in this that we've read here in verse number 16 that is to be obeyed, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Everyone hasn't obeyed the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of repentance. Without repentance, we cannot believe unto salvation. How can we say that? Well, why do you need salvation if you have no need of repentance? Wasn't that a problem with the Pharisees? Did not the Lord say unto them, only the sick have need of a physician? But, you know, you're not sick. You're well. You don't need a physician. You don't need a Savior. So our gospel is a gospel of repentance, and we do see that depicted in Scripture in different places. One of those in Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 1, in regards to John the Baptist, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, I mean, what was his message? What did he have to say? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying, in the wilderness prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan. And what were they doing when they were baptized? They were baptized, it says, and they were confessing their what? Sins. They were repenting. They were confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, here's those people we were talking about a while ago that are not sick and don't need a physician. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And then he says in verse number 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, in other words, what were they trusting in? We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. They didn't see their need to repent. They didn't see the need to obey the gospel. They might have said to themselves, well, that's okay for the Gentiles, but we are Abraham's seed. We were given the law, but the law wasn't given to establish righteousness. The law was given that we might see our need of Christ. So here they were saying, you know, we're Abraham's seed. Here they were saying, we're righteous. We have no need of repentance. And so John's saying, what are you doing here? You know, why have you come to this baptism? What you're not obeying the gospel, you know. Christ didn't come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins. And true faith is one of repentance. The Pharisees saw themselves as holy. They saw themselves as righteous. They saw themselves in a place of having no need of a Savior. Therefore, John says, you have no business here. There is no repentance. You see these people? They're coming being baptized, confessing their sins. What need do you have of that? You know, you have no need of this unless you confess that you are sinful, that you have need of a Savior. You have no need of this. So this is what we mean when we say that there's a gospel to be obeyed, and it is a gospel of repentance. What need does a person have of a Savior except that they have sin that they need to be saved from? The wrath of God. They have sin that they need to be saved from the power of. You know, what do we see in Romans? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Does that mean that we're never going to have any trouble with sin? No. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So sin is something that we're going to be wrestling with from now until the day the Lord takes us home. But the Lord says it's not going to rule over you. It's not going to have the dominion in your life. You know, it doesn't have the dominion in my life that it had before I came to Christ. And I lived for those things. I did those things, you know, wholeheartedly, completely. I gave myself to those things. I had no problem with those things. They were the things that I enjoyed and loved and wanted to do. Now they are things that I wrestle with. Now they're the things I wrestle against. Now they're things that I want to put down and put out of my thoughts and out of my mind. I don't want them to be there, you know, any longer. You know, there are things that remind me of things that I did in my youth that I don't even want to have in the house because of. You know, I don't even want to be reminded of those things. I don't want to be tempted, you know, by those things. They're not necessarily evil things. You know, there's things that make me think of situations and circumstances that I don't want to think about. I don't want to worship at that altar. I don't want to try to somehow that try to enter into my thoughts, and I take pleasure in some thing that happened in the past. I don't want to do that. So here we see that there were those who came and they were confessing their sins and confessing their need of salvation, and there were those who came who really didn't see a need of confessing their sins, and they had no need of salvation. And so John's saying, why have you come for cleansing? In other words, seeing that you don't need, you know, a Savior. So not everyone's going to believe our report. You know, we have this message, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not everyone's going to believe our report. Not everyone is going to obey the gospel. We see that here. Not everyone is going to see themselves in need of salvation. They'll be like the Pharisees saying, well, I can see someone else may have need of that, but I don't. You know, I'm a good person, or whatever the case may be. You know, once again, the Pharisee and the publican kind of come before our thoughts. You know, we see that we've brought this out several times in our study in Romans, Luke 18, verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. In other words, he's better. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, We shift from that scene to the other. So we've been listening to this Pharisee for all of those verses there, what he had to say, what he was thinking, even about this other man. And now we're going to pan over, you know, to the publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's repentance. And the Lord says, I tell you that this man, that last man, the publican, this man went down to his house justified, right in the sight of God, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The way of salvation is through repentance. Repentance is a thing that it's necessary. We have to see ourselves again as in need of a Savior, or else why would we repent? So salvation is not found apart from repentance. One man justified himself, and the other confessed his need of justification. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our supreme need is Christ. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. God is holy. God must punish sinners, must punish the wicked. But he's provided a sacrifice to save us from his wrath, the spotless Lamb of God. We mentioned this verse this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We talked last week about faith coming by hearing. Good verse that was brought to my remembrance in regards to that is John 5:25, where it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, what dead? Now, I know a lot of times people have thought about that verse, you know, in terms of people being physically dead. But we're talking about people that are alive, walking about on the face of the earth here. They're dead in trespasses and sins, right? So the hour is coming, and even now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I think Andrew and I were talking about some of these things this week, and we talked about that passage in the Old Testament where there's I think it was you and I, maybe somebody else, but the passage in the Old Testament where that, and you've brought this up many times over the years, but there's that baby, the scene, as it were, it's a baby lying in its blood, and it's going to die. You know, it's been as it were, not necessarily aborted in the sense you think about babies being aborted today, but it's been abandoned, maybe is a better word. And the Lord passes by, and God says, live. Is that child going to live? Yeah, in that situation, circumstance, sure. And then the dead shall hear the voice of the Son. That baby good is dead. And God says, live. It was polluted, the scripture says, in its own blood. We were polluted in our sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Our thoughts were polluted. Our hearts were polluted. Every part of us was polluted. There was no clean part in us. We would not call upon the Lord. We would not seek his face. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. That's been in our study of Romans, hasn't it? When the dead, those who would not have sought, those who were dead in trespasses and sins, when God says, live. In other words, it's back to those verses there that we have here in Romans 10 in regards to faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, we looked at that from the standpoint of God saying, let there be light. He did that in creation, but he did that in you and me. If we know him, if we know Christ as our Savior, God said, let there be light. You know, let us see ourselves as a sinner, and let us see our need of a Savior. Let us see our need of repentance, you know, even. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's something that happens, and it's that Romans 1, passage that we've been talking about, that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's something that happens during the preaching of the gospel. It's something that we sing about when we sing. There's one hymn that we sing about God coming and honoring his word. God coming, in other words, and speaking, unto us from his word, honoring his word so that when we preach the gospel, we believe that it is the power of God, that God through the gospel speaks, that God's chosen through the foolishness of preaching to speak and to say, live, and to say, hear, and to say, come, unto me, and to show unto us our need of a Savior and the fact that we are a sinner in need of salvation. It's that work which we saw last week in the heart of Lydia, where the Spirit of God opens her heart to attend to the things the Scripture says that Paul was speaking. How many people may sit in a church service and the gospel's being preached, but they're not attending to those things. They're not really listening to those things. Those things don't really mean anything to them. They could easily dismiss them out of hand. They aren't concerned about those things. They have no need of a Savior. We could say, for one reason or another, they just don't believe. They don't believe they need a Savior. But when the Spirit of God comes and opens the heart and draws us unto himself and convicts us and convinces us of sin, then we see our need of Christ. We see our need of Christ. I think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. This is our audience, so to speak, in regards to those who are outside of Christ. Our audience is those that oppose themselves. I think about those that the disciples came unto, and Paul says, since you judge yourselves, unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. They judge themselves unworthy. They oppose themselves in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, now I want you to think about this in the light of what we're talking about here with repentance. If God, peradventure, and in light of repentance, coupled with the fact that God is the one that comes in through the preaching of the gospel, or we may be witnessing to someone, sharing the gospel with them, that God comes in that situation and God comes in those circumstances because he's chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. But think about those things coupled with what we're talking about, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen to what it says here. If God peradventure will give them repentance. That's something that people don't come to a conclusion on their own, that they need to repent. The Spirit of God convicts and convinces. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves, who? Those that oppose themselves, may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this faith that we're talking about, this repentance that we're talking about, this obedience to the gospel, that we're talking about, this believing that we're talking about, comes out of true hearing that God grants, that God gives, that is the power of God unto salvation that we're talking about. That being said, can the gospel be refused? Can the gospel be rejected? I see your head going like this. I see other people's going like this. And I would say, we can't see, those things. We can't see people's hearts. But we know the one who saves. And we know those who are in need of salvation. And we know that they oppose themselves. And we know that they are refusing and rejecting these things. We know that in a sense, it's like, the apostle said that they have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. They don't see themselves as a sinner in need of salvation. They aren't smiting themselves upon the breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They're saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. They can always find somebody that's worse than they are. And I'm a pretty good person. And they're judging themselves by other people, and they're judging themselves by other standards, and they're not judging themselves by the Word of God and by the law of God that would lead them, unto repentance and lead them unto salvation. So that's why, he's saying here, they've not all believed our report. All those that we speak unto aren't going to believe our report. There are those who are not obeying the gospel. There are those who have not believed our report. There are those who are disobedient in verse number 21 and gainsaying people. They're refusing and rejecting this gospel. This gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. So what makes the difference? Who hath believed our report? Is it the persuasive power of the preacher? No. Is it the right music that's played during an altar call? No. It's none of those things. It's the power of God unto salvation. This situation, you know, that you brought up earlier, you know, Brother Wiseman, this is something that's going to require not the necessarily the wisdom, you know, of the parents to argue, you know, a certain way. Not that God can't use that, but that alone is not going to do it. You know, human reasoning is not going to necessarily do it, not in the sense that I'm talking about as far as salvation is concerned. What's going to make the difference? God's going to make the difference. The power of God's going to make the difference. If that person's going to see themselves as a sinner in need of repentance, God's going to do that by His Spirit. If a person's going to call upon the name of the Lord, God's going to do that through the preaching of the gospel. God's going to do that through, you know, someone witnessing to another person. He has the power to convict. He has the power to convince of sin. You know, have we truly heard the gospel? If we have, then it is that we have repented. It is that we have believed upon Christ because we have a need of a Savior. Am I obedient to the gospel call? Not all who have heard obey. We see that here. The sound went into all the world, it says, but not all heard. I mean, did they hear physically? Sure, they heard, but they didn't hear with a saving faith. They didn't hear. So if we have truly believed, it is by the power of God that God's come and said, live. God said, hear. God said, you know, I'm going to open your heart and you're going to hear these things and I'm going to shed my love abroad in there. That's going to make the difference, not us. I'm not going to make the difference. You're not going to make the difference. God makes the difference. For a person like Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the church, who was putting Christians to death, what made the difference in that man's life? It was God. God made the difference. You know, he came and intervened. He came and interrupted this man's thoughts and this man's heart and this man's designs and this man's schemes to the point that he says in Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, that he saw himself as sinful because he was in the same boat with those Pharisees, you know, who would say, you know, what lack I yet? I've done all these things since my youth. You know, I've kept the law. I'm righteous in God's sight. I've established my own righteousness by keeping the law. I've done it. And you hear that in the Pharisee praying, I thank you that I'm not like all men. I pay tithes. I fast. I do this. I do that. He's established his own righteousness. And in the doing of that has refused and rejected the righteousness of God, which is Christ. He said, I don't need a Savior. You know, I'm righteous in and of myself. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm guaranteed entrance into heaven. All of those things were things that would have been a part of Paul's thinking. And he says, I count those things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not, and you hear it here, don't you? Not having my own righteousness. That was the mind of the Pharisee, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But not having mine own righteousness, what's going to make a difference in a man like that? I mean, he had his mind made up. You know, he was establishing his own righteousness. This is the way that we do it. You know, this is our religion. This is our salvation. This is the way, you know, that we obtain entrance into the kingdom of heaven, you know. What's going to change a person's mind like that? Or, you know, the opposite side of that coin, a person that is, they are consumed by sin. They are consumed by darkness. You know, they are consumed and they're blinded by the god of this world. What's going to make the difference in that person's life? It's God. It's the power of God unto salvation. You know, this gospel that is to be obeyed is not a take it or leave it proposition. It's not just for some people and not for others. Oh, that religion's for, you know, those people that go to that church down there. It's not for me. No, Christ is Lord over all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you want him to be Lord or not, he is. Whether you want him to rule and reign, he's going to. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. He is Lord over all, as we said, whether you want him to be or not. All have sinned against him. All are worthy of death. All are worthy of judgment. What are the wages of sin again? Death. Death unto every man, woman, boy, and girl because of their sin against God. Christ, our only hope of salvation. Christ, our need, because we are sinful. We have need of salvation. We have need of repentance. Romans 14, verse number 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He is God. He is over all, whether men want him to be or not. The gospel is for all. What does God command? We're talking about repentance. God commands all men everywhere to do what? Repent. God calls all men. God commands, in other words, the gospel is to be obeyed. God calls all men everywhere. What message do we have for people? God calls all men everywhere to repent. How many people do you know that don't see their need of repentance? I know a bunch of them. I know a bunch of people that don't see their need of repentance. God calls every man to this, to repentance. Every man everywhere to repent. When you think about God giving his only begotten son for our salvation, and people aren't going to believe the gospel, people aren't going to repent and believe, people aren't going to repent and call upon the name of the Lord, they might be saved. Hebrews 10 says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified and a holy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to a person standing before God on the day of judgment without Christ, without an advocate with the Father, without being in Jesus Christ the righteous. It's a fearful thing. No wonder people would be calling upon the mountains to fall, you know, upon them. So it's not optional. The gospel is not optional. It is to be obeyed. The alternative to refusing and rejecting the gospel that God has given, you know, is eternal damnation. Proverbs 14:32 says, the wicked is thrust out in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Can you see the two there? The wicked in his death, he's thrust out. I mean, he's done for. It's a forever proposition. There is no hope, you know, of getting out. I mean, he's in hell for eternity. The wicked thrust out. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him into outer darkness. But the righteous, he has hope in his death in Christ. Romans 1 verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So on that day, no excuse. No excuse. Here's a saying that I came across this week that says, no man is responsible for his salvation. I mean, all of us who have been saved, we know that God has done the work in our lives that has brought us to this place. No man's responsible for his salvation, but here's the other truth. All men are responsible for their damnation. All men are responsible for their damnation. You know, none will stand before God in that day and say, I asked you, pleaded with you, I called upon you, I repented of my sins, I believed the gospel, but you would not save me. That's not going to happen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God has called all men, commanded all men everywhere to repent, and men are in a position where they have no excuse. The scripture tells us that. And that's not just a statement that I'm making. It's not just a statement that you might be making to someone. It's a statement that God has made, that they are without excuse. They're without excuse. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Well, have I truly believed? Well, have you been granted repentance? Have you, you know, when I say granted repentance, I mean that a person has repented of their sins. I mean, that's being granted repentance. It's not saying that I repent, Lord, please forgive me, and that I'm granted repentance. It's a person being even brought to a place where they would say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I repent of my sins. I turn from those things and to you. How is that even going to happen apart from the power of God? Have I truly believed? Have you been granted repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, as the scripture says? What truth? That I'm a sinner in need of salvation. Yeah, that's the truth. The other part, so here's this obedience to the gospel, and another part that we'll, the Lord willing, get into, you know, next week, but it's kind of summed up in a sense in this fashion. So think about it in this way. We talked about the Pharisees, no need of repentance, right? And we've talked about those of us who have been granted repentance, and we see our need of Christ. Do we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh? The Pharisee, every confidence in the flesh. But for us that have been saved, we rejoice in Christ because there is our salvation. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What is your hope of salvation? For those of us who are in Christ, it is Him and Him alone that we have no other hope. It is in repentance of our sin, turning from sin to God, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless it's that, we have no hope of salvation. There is no hope. The Pharisee who trusted himself, the Pharisee who sought to establish his own righteousness, no hope. No hope. I mean, you think about who God chose to use, who the Lord chose to use as an illustration. You know, that rich man, he was a rich Jewish man. And he lifted up his eyes, you know, in hell saying, you know, would you send Lazarus, that poor guy that used to beg outside my gate, who I see in heaven, would you send him with just one drop of water to cool my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame? John the Baptist says, don't say unto me that we have Abraham, you know, for our father, that we are Abraham's seed. Don't say that. It doesn't make any difference about your lineage. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ has been given by the Father for our salvation for all Jew and Gentile. The gospel that we've been given to preach is the power of God unto all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first because it was delivered to the Jew first. You know, this message was given to the Jew first. That it came unto us through, you know, them. It was given to them first, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men everywhere are commanded to repent. So you see that there is something to be obeyed. That's what Paul's talking about here in Romans 10. There is something to be obeyed in the gospel. You know, what is it? Repentance and belief upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the message that we have to give unto men. All right, well, let's stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dad, would you pray for us?